I want you to take your Bible and go with me to 1 Thessalonians, the 4th chapter, if you will. And I seem like I've had this on my heart for a day or two. And so my voice is bad, so I'll just take my time tonight and do for the Lord what I feel that I can do the best. This morning, maybe I ought to apologize for my voice being so bad, but I done the best I could by the Lord being my helper. In 1 Thessalonians, the 4th chapter, furthermore, we beseech you, brethren, and exhort you by the Lord Jesus, that as you have received of us how you ought to walk, and so please God, so you'd abound more and more. For ye know what commandment we gave you by the Lord Jesus. For this is the will of God, even your sanctification, that you should abstain from fornication, that you should abstain from fornication, that every one of you should know how to possess his vessel in honor, not in lust and covetousness, even as the Gentiles which know not God, that no man go beyond to raft his brother in any matter, because the Lord is the avenger of all such, as we also have forwarded you and testified. For God has not called us unto uncleanness, but unto wholeness. The apostle had been worried, and he'd been greatly troubled. So he sent a brother to check on the congregation and to find out the matters that were going on among them. And when he came back, he had a good report from them. And it was the apostles' desire to these folks that they would be established and settle down in wholeness. That's the kind of life that God would have us to live. Because God is a holy God. God never called us to uncleanness, but God called us to wholeness. Now, Paul didn't want them to have a mixture, fornication. He wanted them to have the kind of character that Jesus had, and that they would be firm, and that they'd be marked by wholeness, the character of God. You see, we need to allow God to be our identity. We need to identify with God, do we not? So that folks don't have to guess who we are, but when they see us, if they know anything about God, they'll know we belong to God. And if we live a good, clean, holy life, certainly they'll know that we don't belong to the world, because the world's not living a holy life. The world's in foolishness. The world is tossed to and fro from here to there. Anything goes in the world, but not so with the church of God. The church of God is an established people. They are people who know what they are, what they're saved from, and what they're saved to, and who they belong to. They have changed addresses after they got saved. Not only change addresses, but they pulled off the old man and put on a new man. And they have supplanted their feet on solid ground. They're not walking in the same paths that they have walked in the past. And so when people see them and after a while know and take notice of them, they say that person, those people are holy people. Because we're not a people that have a mixed character with the world. Thank God. We're like the mustard tree that Jesus talked about, or the mustard seed. He may be the smallest, but when he's planted and he comes up, he doesn't mix with anything. They may have tromped on him, may have thrown him here and there, but when he grows up, he's still a mustard, praise God. And it's the same way with us. Whenever we get saved, planted with the Lord, set our feet where we ought to in the truth, walk in the right pathway with God, brother, we have no mixture in our life. Our life is a clean life, a holy life, and so we have no spots, no wrinkles with the world. We've come out from under the world. We have separated people because God separated us whenever he saved us. I believe in holiness. Paul said to him in 2 Corinthians, the 7th chapter, having therefore these promises dearly beloved, let us cleanse ourselves from all filthiness of the flesh and spirit, perfecting wholeness in the fear of God. Now, Paul had told them in the Thessalonian church about the fornication. So what was it that he's talking about here when he's talking about having therefore the promises of God? And let us cleanse ourselves from all the spirits of the flesh. You go back to the 14th verse, and he said, be not unequal, yoked together with unbelievers. What fellowship has righteousness with unrighteousness? And what communion has light with darkness? What's he saying? There's a spirit in the world, but there's a spirit of God's people. And Galatians tells us the difference in the spirit, does he not? One spirit's of the flesh, which is filthy. But the spirit of God that separates us from the flesh and cleans up the vessel and makes it holy for the Holy Ghost of God to live in, it is clean. There's no filthiness there. And Paul is saying, if you're a fornicator, if you're yoking up with the unbeliever, you're walking with the people of the flesh, you're doing what you ought not to do. There's an unclean spirit there. And Paul is saying, separate yourself from that which is unclean and be holy with God. That's what a holy life is. That's what a holy life is. Let me clear some things here. It doesn't mean you can't be friendly with people. Doesn't mean you can't be nice. But it does mean you can't take of what they're taking of. That you got to separate yourself from what they're doing. They're entertained with a different spirit than what we are. Right? They can go to the dance hall. They can do the things that the muse of this world does. But you and I, when we got saved, God took us out of the world and put us on holy ground. And he put us where that we are to be a clean people. And that means our spirit and our soul don't no longer feed on the spirit of the flesh. That's what a holy life is. And I think I can say and say it freely that every person that know God and have separated from the world, that you enjoy better what God doing for you than you do what the world done for you. Now, I have lived on both sides. All of us have, before we got saved. I know there's another spirit. You do too. Whenever I was unsaved, I liked the things that went on in the world. You did too. I liked the rock and roll music. I liked my fat stomach old. I found my field on Blueberry Hill. Amen. And I liked Elvis Presley. I like to hear him sing, I'm all shook up. But whenever God saved me, I come out of it. Isn't that what we done? And it's the same way when the church is today. A lot of places I'm going, they've got rock and roll music right in the church. I say it's not holy. Wife and myself was in a congregation not long ago, and two girls come in with the short shorts. I said, that's not holiness. It's embarrassing. It's a spirit of the world, spirit of the flesh. Whenever we got saved, we're ashamed of the past, ashamed of the flesh. Thank God we're separated, come out of the world, dead to the world, dead to what it's got to offer. Set our feet in the pathway of God. That's where we come to whenever we got saved. Oh, yes, we did. Paul said, what, of course, has Christ with Belial? Or what part has he that believe with an infidel? What agreement has the temple of God with idols? For ye are the temple of the living God. And God has said, I will dwell in them, walk in them. I'll be their God and shall be my people. Come out from among them, and ye separated, said the Lord, and touch not the unclean thing, and I will receive you. He wasn't talking about people that hadn't took a bath. He wasn't talking about people that hadn't washed their hands. He was talking about an unclean spirit. And whenever there's a spirit of the flesh, it's unclean. And so we must follow the statute of the Lord and his commandment and follow the right spirit. In Romans 8:1, there is therefore now no condemnation to them that's in Christ Jesus, who walks not after the flesh, but after the Spirit. Second verse, for the law of the Spirit of life in Christ Jesus has made me free from the law of sin and death. When God saves us, he brings us to a better law. He brings us to a better spirit. He makes us free from some things, and he puts the law of God in our soul, and he writes it on our heart. And brother or sister, when that gets on your heart, it makes you want to be different from the world. That's what God does. And I don't know about you, but that just tickles me real good. Now, in Proverbs, the 14th chapter, I guess it is. Just give me a moment and I'll try to find it. The pathway of God is far much different than the way of the world. In the 16th chapter and the 17th verse, here's what he said. The highway of the upright is depart from evil. He that keepeth his way preserveth his soul. Amen. What do you say to us, Lord? I'm saying, when I saved you, I give you a new path to travel. Amen. It's a straight path. It's a narrow path. But it's a road that leads you to heaven, praise God. And when John the Baptist came preaching what the old prophet in Isaiah had prophesied of, that God was going to make straight paths for people's feet. And he's going to bring down what was high to low. And what was low, he's going to bring it up. And what was crooked, he's going to make it straight. And what was rough, he's going to make it plain. What did he do? Praise God, he put us on a smooth highway to heaven. Amen. That's a holy life. That's a clean life. That's a life of enjoyment. And thank God I'm traveling a better highway toward home. Thank the Lord. There's a blessing whenever we get in that pathway. Turn with me over to Isaiah, the 35th chapter. You Bible students know what that is, don't you? Oh, yes, you do. Isaiah 35 says this. Let's read. In the ninth verse, let me back up to the 8th verse. And a highway shall be there, and a way, and it shall be called the way of wholeness. The unclean shall not pass over it, but it shall be for those, the wayfaring man, though fool, ere not therein. Now, brother, you know sin is a life of foolishness. It's foolishness. It doesn't take much to prove that it's foolishness. When a man or a woman go out here and take on in these honky-tonks and drink, spend their money and make herself plumb crazy to where they don't know what they're doing or where they're going, that's foolishness. I'm crazy enough without spending money to be more crazy. Amen. But on the other hand, it's foolishness to have talk that ain't no sound life here. Nothing good about it. And Jesus has said, this kind of stuff doesn't even get in the highway toward home. This way is a highway that is clean and upright. Amen. All that travels on it is like the Lord. In the 9th verse, no line. You remember what he called Babylon? The king, he called him a line. He ain't on this way. He's not on this way. Shall there be no raven beast go up thereon? It shall not be found there, but the redeemed shall walk there. All of those that have been purchased, been bought by the blood of Jesus Christ. You mean that God buy me? 1 Corinthians 6:20, Bible said you're bought with a price. You're not your own. When Jesus died on the cross of Calvary, his blood put this covenant at force. And when you heard the word of God, what did it do? It brought faith to you. And it caused you to repent from foolishness. Turn around. Get right with God. And when you got right with God, he puts you on a highway for home. And brother, sister, he bought you. He redeemed you. He got you out of sin's prison. He got you out of what the devil had you bound in. And he made you upright. That's what he done for you. Well, yes, he did. Praise God, that's what he done. Then he said, and the ransom of the Lord shall return and come to Zion. And that's what happens when you get saved. It's come in Zion with songs, an everlasting joy upon their head. They shall obtain joy and gladness. Sorrow and sighing shall flee away. All of them saints that was under captivity, marching down to Babylon, they hung their harps on the wilderness. Psalms 137. They made fun of them, said, sang as one of the Lord's songs. They said, how can we sing the Lord's songs in a strange land? But when the old king of Babylon turned them loose on the order of God, they got on their way home. Brother, there was another spirit hit their soul. They got to singing. Now, I'll tell you what singing to do. It admonishes you. It lifts you up. It encourages you. Well, they got happy. It's on their way home. Paul said in Ephesians 3:19, speak to yourself in songs and hymns. Sing, make melody in your heart unto the Lord. What do you need to sing for? Let the devil know you got some joy and you got some peace and happiness in your soul. And there's a well of living water that's springing up on the inside. And thank God you know no longer in a dry land, but you're in a land where there's a river of life flowing in your soul. Thank God there's something happened. Colossians 3:16, he told them to sing. I believe the saints of God is a singing church. I believe they're a singing church. Whenever, brother, that they come through the dark age and the ministry went out in Revelation, the 14th chapter, and they gathered the saints of God back to Zion. They stood upon the mount with the Lamb of God and sang a song, I'm redeemed, I'm redeemed. Brother, whenever we're saved and live a holy life, we can sing, I'm redeemed. Yes, we can. Hallelujah. That makes me feel good. And my soul stirs my heart. Sing the songs of God. When the saints got over in the 15th chapter of Revelation, they could sing two songs. It just picks up more, don't it? On the way home. Oh yes, thank God. They sung the songs of the Lamb. You know why they wanted to sing? Because they're free. Amen. They're free. And they're standing on truth. When you get on truth, and where truth is at, you get a song in your heart. Amen. Oh yes, you do. The old devil comes around. He's trying to drain you, trying to muddy up things for you. If you want to put him on the go, just begin to rear back and sing the old Church of God song. brother, that it ain't long until the devils travel on and your soul is merry. And because the good Spirit of God has got a hold of your heart, He's leading you on. You see, the closest that you'll ever be to this world again, when God saved you, He took you by the hand and is leading you toward heaven as fast as He can lead you there. And you can sing the song on your way home. Praise God. We're a holy people. I'm happy, are you? I got joy. I believe there's holiness, people, that God laid out a standard for every one of us. Titus, in the second chapter, lets us know when our home life is right, the church is right. That all right? Whenever we live a holy life. What did he say? He said that the aged men be sober and grave. What's that mean? We use a good, sound, firm mind. Whenever we're holiness, we're very serious about what we're doing for God. Serious about our life. Serious about the word, about the teaching of God. At the standard of God. That's what he said for the aged men to do. He said for the aged woman likewise, for them to behave themselves as become holiness. God means for you to discipline yourself. Now God set a good clean life before us. He set a good pattern to follow. But he gives you and I a choice, right? You got a choice. You can make it right or you can make it wrong. But let me step forward here and say something to you. You can't live two lives at once. You're going to be on one side of the fence or the other. Too many in our day trying to live it two ways. You can't have it two ways. If you're going to be a holiness, you've got to stay in the straight and the pathway that leads home, praise God. Yes, you have. And so, then it gets after the younger people, teaching the younger woman to be sober, love their husband, to love their children. Now, I'll say something here. When I was growing up, and the girls in the home, the elder ladies told them how to dress. They told them how to sew. They told them how to keep house. Oh, yes, it did. They taught them to wash dishes. They showed them how to wash clothes. They showed them the clothesline. They taught them how to cook. Yeah, they did. And when they went to church, their girls went to church. And they sat where they could keep their eyes on them. What was that for? The home life, they wanted it in line. They didn't want no reproach. And so they kept their eye on it. We need people today keep their eye on the home life. Am I saying too much? You know and I know we're in trouble. We got a lot of trouble today. We need the home life. We need a good life. And brother, sister, if we have a good church, it's got to start at home. Amen. Right? Amen. You see, we got to practice some things. Young men, God said for you to show a good pattern. And I like to see young men like they are here. And I said to one here the other night, man, I really enjoy looking at you. You got a good clean haircut. You're really nice and clean. You're dressed right. I believe we ought to brag on our young men. When you're clean, when you're upright, brag on them. Right? You don't see that everywhere. Wife and myself the other day was confused. We didn't know if it was a woman or a man. I hate to be confused. I told my wife, I said, that's a unisex. That's what that is. That's what they call them. They got the sign on the barber shop, unisex. Oh, brother, a man don't need to look like a woman, and a woman don't need to look like a man. That's plumb out of reason. That gets me confused. I don't like to be confused. And when I go to church, I like to know if I'm preaching to the women or preaching to the men. And it ain't hard to tell a woman from this pulpit or a man from this pulpit if they're in the standard of God. Is that all right? You will let me come back, won't you? You know, and I know, we're living in troubled times. We certainly are. We're living in troubled times. What does Paul teach us to do? He teaches us to walk a life that is separate in every way. Here's what he says. Let me begin in Ephesians, this fifth chapter, and 11th verse. Have no fellowship with unfruitful works of darkness. Rather, reprove them. You don't have to go out of your way to reprove what's wrong. If you live right, if you live right, it'll reprove what is wrong. You know why so many people fuss against what's right? They're trying to pull it down on their level so they'll feel better. Right? They feel bad because they're not like us, and it makes them feel bad. Well, I can't help that. I can't compromise where I'm at. So we got to live our life. The world takes notice that they're being reproved. So Paul said, rather reprove them, for it's a shame even to speak of those things which are done in secret. Now, if you have to hide to do something, that ain't right. Is it? I think of Deuteronomy 29:29. He said, secret things belong unto God, and them things that he reveals belong to us and our children. Now, God withhold truth from people that don't appreciate truth. But if we appreciate truth, want truth, he reveals secret things. Right? You read Ephesians, the third chapter, and about the sixth verse, I think it is, or the fifth verse, one to the other. Paul said there's things revealed in this age that wasn't revealed in other ages. In other words, Paul saying that the light that has been prophesied of, you didn't have the understanding, but the light has come. Truth has come. And I can stand here today and say from Zechariah 14, and Revelation 19 that we're in more light today. We're in better understanding. And so we should live a good, righteous, and holy, and clean life before the Lord. God demands that, does he not? He said, but the things that are reproved are made manifest by light. For whatsoever make manifest is light. Wherefore he said, wake thou that sleep, and arise from the dead, and Christ shall give thee light. There's many things truth has to wake us from. But truth will wake you. Truth will shake you. God has shook nations with truth. Did you know that? Oh, yes, he has. God is still the same God. He'll shake hearts. He said, seeing then that you walk circumspectly, not as fools, but as wise. If we walk in the wisdom of God and in the holiness of God, if we follow his commandment, if we walk in that holy pathway, the upright way, I believe, brother or sister, that we're being a wise people in following the Lord. A lot of people may count us fools. Have you ever had people to say to you, why do you want to go to church all the time for? Can't you miss a service? Don't you never feel like you ought to just stay here with your company? Or you ought to stay here with your family once in a while? I turn around and say, you know, God said, put him first. Put him first. That's what God wants us to do. Just keep on walking. Now I ask you, church, in closing tonight, what God say do with your time? He said, redeem the time, because the days are evil. Wherefore, be ye not unwise, but understanding what the will of the Lord is. It pays you and I to take count of our time. I don't know how long I'll be here. You don't know how long you'll be here. And I've often thought, if it's anything that I'd want to regret when I get to the end of life's way, is because I didn't get more done than what I'm doing today. I believe every saint of God that's really redeemed of God, left God, that you want to spend your time helping the cause of God. Amen. Winning souls for Jesus Christ. Winning souls for Jesus Christ. I can't understand people that feel like they can just take weeks out and don't have to go. That they can stay at home when they want to, and it ain't nobody's business. Well, I feel like that we owe one another something. Do you? Did you ever read Romans, the first chapter, where Paul talked about what we owe one another? We owe one another something. In Luke, the 15th chapter, whenever the young man left home, took all his goods and wasted it, when he come back, he made two confessions. He confessed to the Father that he was sorry. Then he said, I've sinned against heaven. Did you know, if you ain't careful, you'll mistreat the church. And if you mistreat the church, it's because you owed your brother or sister your presence. You owe your pastor your presence. All the people in the church, the devil shows the pastor the ones that's not there. What for? He wants to discourage him. Then he'll show it to some of the church. Why? They look around and they begin to worry. That's the devil's business. We owe one another our presence in the house of God. Right? That's our duty. That's our business. Live a good, clean, holy life. May God bless you, church. We love you with all our heart. Thank you for having us this week. Thank you, Pastor, for calling on us. And pray for our wife and myself that we can stay busy. And I'd rather burn out than I had to rust out. So just pray that God will put the fire on me and I can keep going. Shall we stand?